Colin, thank you for coming, mate. Thank you for taking the time. You're a busy guy, and I appreciate it. The fact that you were in Cornwall only a couple of days ago. So thank you for coming back to do this podcast with me. So over the next kind of 30 minutes or so, I want you to share your experience, your knowledge of the title splitting course, but also more importantly, what's happened as a consequence of that. So but before we get into this, let's give the listeners a bit of an understanding of what your background is. So what were you doing before, or what are you currently doing before you give it up? And what's kind of made you come into properties?
Yeah, well, basically, I'd reached a point in my life where I was kind of fed up. I've been in the business in construction for 35 years, and I didn't feel it was giving me anything other than a living. I was quite unhappy in it, and I just reached out online. I always wanted to dabble in property, and I have done in the past,
yeah,
in development, and that went fairly well. So property just attracted me. The fact that the skill sets I'd accumulated during my life,
yeah,
I trained as a carpenter, went on to project management, went on to developing. I've been in the concrete business for a long time, so basically I know how to put them up.
Yeah,
and I just don't want to put them up for anybody else anymore. I want to put them up for myself. So yes. I seen your videos online, and I was a bit intrigued by the title splitting.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't thought of it myself, and I researched it, as I do with anything, I suppose, I invest in. I researched it quite a bit, followed you online, looked into it, studied the concept online.
Yeah,
I reached out after a while when I was confident that it was legitimate.
So what made you think it was legitimate? Somebody like you with that level of experience, you kind of knew rogue versus...
Yeah.
So what were you looking
for?
Well, kind of convinced
I suppose
you?
I studied it online that it was possible to do, and I didn't see any scam alerts coming up. And I was interested in your journey online. It was quite interesting. I suppose the thing that made me suspicious about it, well, if it's that easy, why isn't everyone doing it?
Yeah.
But when you think about the level of work that's involved and the level of investment that's involved, it's not really for everybody.
Yeah,
it's all in or nothing, isn't it, really?
Yes.
You know, so I met you then one-to-one, which was very important to me and you, and I think
because I vet my own, I vet the mentees as well, because I need to make sure that people have got the money and also have got the ability to do it.
Yeah,
because it's not for everybody, like you say. You know, we're not breaking at Everest, but you need to have a level of experience, finance, as well as ability to want to do the work.
Exactly. And there wasn't a lot that would faze me because of the experience I'm lucky enough to have in the industry.
And just on that note, I think you kind of downplayed it when you said you've been in the construction industry for 35 years. You said to me recently that you are now doing the biggest... The cellar conversion.
Oh yeah, we've done the biggest basement in Wimbledon there.
What kind of cost was that?
For us on air contract works, it would have been around 1.8 million just on that for on airs. But the basement would have cost, I think it was around 6 million.
Oh my God!
Yeah, for the bulk excavation piling.
And this is your company that's doing
all
of that kind of. So you're not the average Joe here. You're not somebody who's, you know, thinking about properties because you're working in an office. This, you've got some super experience in construction, and you're still finding your way now. And we're going to talk about your experience about buying properties in a minute and buying blocks of flats. But you've still found your way to thinking, do you know what? Actually, I need to do something different now. And let's also not beat around the bush. Your company does well.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask then why you want to phase it down?
I suppose I'm 58 on my next birthday, and
don't look a day over 40.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. But I want to find something that I can just do at my pace on my own without construction now, health and safety management, risk involved in projects of that scale.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit much, to be honest.
Yes.
And I suppose my partner in the business, we went our separate ways, and I was looking at the business differently.
Yeah.
It's still profitable, but sometimes I'm a good man to go with your gut.
Yes.
So most people would tell me, you're mad. Why would you exit your business when it's profitable? Yeah. Well, I think anything can be profitable. If I put the level of dedication and time into any business, I'd expect it to achieve.
And I think we're going to talk about what you've achieved in the very short space of time being in kind of title split. We'll talk about this in a minute, but you're right. You know, it's about effort, right? Nothing, you know, nothing worth having comes easy.
Exactly. Right?
So you've got to put the effort in. But it's also interesting. I like your journey when I've even first met you, without giving away the amount, but you had substantial amount of money to invest. And that comes with a lot of work. Nobody amasses that kind of money just sitting around watching Jeremy Kyle in the morning. Right, one. Two, I was also intrigued about, well, hang on, like you say, why are you phasing down something that works? But then your example was, you know, we all want something at some point to be able to have a better life or change our life. And I think you also, in the end, it's turned out we're very similar. You get bored of things after a while. You want something new, challenge and stuff like that. So is that what part of the kind of the appeal with title split and coming into buying blocks of flat rather than buying a house and doing it up and selling it?
Yeah, well, the attraction for me was simply the recycling element of recycle your money. Mm-hmm. And I'll always try something once. And if it doesn't do what it says on the tin,
yeah,
I won't be coming back, you know. So I'm a kind of all in or nothing guy, you know.
Yeah.
So we went ahead fairly quite quickly.
Yeah.
I really liked the fact that what I like doing is involved in title splitting. I like researching. I like looking at areas. I like...
Yes.
Old buildings, much like yourself. I like, yes, Victorian buildings.
Yes.
I'm not fazed or scared by plaster falling off a wall because I know it can be fixed.
Yes.
So the GDV is very important in this business, as you,
yes,
know. So if you can look at something,
yeah,
you know what it's going to cost you in the back of your mind, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Don't let things bother you,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And don't be scared.
And actually, the problematic ones are where the, you know, the gems are.
That's
because,
it.
You know, everybody wants something that's already done, but I've already made the money on it. That's why it's already done.
Exactly.
We want something that's a little bit dirty, a little bit unkept.
Mm.
That's where the kind of almost the gems are.
They are indeed. And you have to be willing to put the work in. And in my case, I'm very lucky because myself and my partner, Jen,
yeah,
run the business together.
She's better than you.
And she's brilliant. She's brilliant. To have that backup,
yes,
frees me up.
Yeah.
And we're a team. You know?
I think you complement each other in terms of skill set, right? So
yeah,
she's very much the analysis, doing the office kind of stuff, and then you are out there doing,
yes,
the actual dues.
Exactly. And that's why this takes time.
Yes.
It's not, it's simple. The concept is easy.
Yeah.
But the practicality and the implementation of,
yeah,
what you need to do takes time.
So thinking about that then, so, you know, it's the complexity that of this strategy is where the gem is, right? That's where the money's made, is the,
yeah,
complexity. So thinking about the one-to-one format that I then spoke to you at the time that we went for coffee and I explained how I do it and why I do it in the one-to-one. What now that you've done the program with me, you've already now, we're going to talk about two blocks that you've bought. How did that, what's your thoughts around the one-to-one? And, you know, would you have done just as well on a group session that, you know, you go with 40, 50 people in a room and understanding this?
I think the one-to-one is critical, to be honest with you. I'm not a kind of guy who will get everything I need from a group because, yes, the one-to-one is to instill confidence in me.
Yeah.
Because regardless of whether you're confident, I need confirmation of my confidence.
Yes.
And you were there to answer questions. And I ask questions. I'm not shy, you know.
Yeah.
So I, as far as I was concerned, I was getting my money's worth.
Believe, yeah, me, I know you Irish lot. You know, you want your money.
But
for me, it's the most important thing because if you have a question and you don't have a way of getting that answer, you then, your confidence will be like, do I still go ahead with it? Do I not? Am I going to buy this block? It's on a separate lease already. Am I going to get into trouble? Whereas if you pick up the phone or use, in your case, you know, in our case, WhatsApp, voicemail, it gets you to the next, almost the next level of moving on a deal.
Yeah, it provides you with a sense of comfort in your decisions. And to have that then, that confidence and the reassurance is probably a better word for it.
Yes.
Reassurance. We went through my first deal and I was excited about it, you know, but I was saying, well, do I, don't I? And it was a Friday. I remember we closed the deal on the Friday. We wanted to get it nailed
just
down.
Before bank holiday or something.
Yeah, it was before a bank holiday. And, you know, we went into the weekend with my first deal closed.
And that was, just so that people are listening, that was literally within 4 weeks of starting the course, or some 4 to 6 weeks of starting the course. So you weren't messing about.
No.
As you say, what I like about people like yourself is you get in, you learn. So week one was all around the sourcing bit, how to source and find these deals. Week two, we spoke about how to assess them and deal analyze them. Week three, site visits. Really, I think by week three, you were out there.
I was okay,
you
know, yeah.
You were, actually, I think we competed on one in the end as well.
Yeah, yeah, I actually found one. Yeah, we were looking at the same property.
Which you accused me of stealing from you.
Because, yeah, yeah,
but,
exactly.
But the idea was, but the aim was, you know, you actually did the dues, you know, you did the knowledge bit, but you also went out and actually found this.
Yeah, and the fact that I was finding properties that you were looking at,
yes,
said to me, well, you're doing something right, Colin.
So how did you find this deal that you end up buying in Chatteris, actually?
In Chatteris, I had been looking at it and I was sitting on the fence a little bit with it until our call. And I liked the building. I liked the look of it.
Was it on auction? Was it on?
It had been an auction. It had been bought in an auction. And believe it or not, it turned out to be very complicated the way it was bought.
Yeah.
But we bought it in auction from a guy who bought it in auction.
Right.
And we ended up paying a little more than I was hoping to. Yeah. But the deal still stacked up, which is the important thing about your system.
Absolutely.
It still hit the numbers. And for me, that was the...
So what was the deal again? Remind us that. What is it, a block of how many flats?
It was a block of four, what were advertised as flats, but they're actually a three-bed mezzanine, a two-bed mezzanine, a two-bed flat and a one-bed flat, plus two garages and four storage units and a big car park.
Wow.
And that was all in. And I seen potential in the garages maybe to do a little bungalow, convert it and let that.
Yeah.
And
how much did you pay for that?
I paid $350 for that.
$350.
Yeah.
Wow. And so then you found it. It was post auction. You bought it at $350. It was the bank holiday. Well, the Friday before the bank holiday, you closed it 4 weeks after starting this course. Now it's, you've done probably three months down the line now?
Probably heading for 3 months
you're
now.
You're almost getting to the refinance stages now. So looking back now of what you've bought, how many surprises come out, any kind of challenges you faced, and what would you do different, I guess?
Yeah, well, there has been challenges. Yeah. I'm actually in one problem tenant in the first block we bought, which we're dealing with through your recommendations for solicitors and court is coming up on that. Other than that, there have been problems. Yeah. You're not going, as we're talking about, you're getting these properties because people want to sell them at auction. If they want to sell them at auction, it's because there's issues. So to find a block without an issue, I think you're in the wrong business, you know. So it's the issues that make you the money, as you said earlier.
Correct.
So at the moment, we're involved in 10 issues, 10 flats.
So
they all have their little intricacies, or whatever, sorry, pronounced that wrong. And they all have their own challenges.
Yes.
They all have their own tenants. You see, the rent on a lot of the stuff that you buy at auction, the rents are very low.
Yeah.
And you make money on your rental by improving
the conditions.
The condition and bringing up your GDV, refinancing, taking your money back out and going again.
Yes.
If you think you can do that without any work, I doubt very much you will find
it. It will happen once in a while.
Yeah,
it's not the norm.
No, and even the ones I have, I'm not fazed by what I have to do. A lot of people would be. They go, oh God, what have I done? What have I bought? But having my experience and background, I need a plasterer for 2 weeks. I need a painter. Yeah. You know,
it makes life a lot easier knowing the level of work that you will end up having to do and how quickly, how easy it is. Yeah. So just to pause you there. So you said now we've jumped now from four flats at £350,000. You've now got 10 flats because you bought another block of six flats.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to pause that for a minute. So that's just to finish off the four flats in Chatteris, 350,000. What do you think your GDV is going to be like by the time you finish it?
We're hoping around 640, 650.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's some serious uplift. That's almost £250,000 worth of uplift.
Yeah.
And if you did get that, well, you don't even need to get that much to recycle all your money out.
No. And I'm going on worst case scenario. I've renovated. I've done a serious renovation on the two bed mezzanine, and as we uncovered more and more, it had been patched up for years. So I ripped out the bathroom, kitchen, recarpeted, painted. But when the valuer walks in there, that's going to be the first one I'm going to show him.
Yes,
and he'll say, "Well, they all have potential to be like this."
Yes.
So I'm going to refinance three there and three in Cornwall.
Yeah.
So if I do that, that's the maximum amount you can mortgage, which you taught me.
Yeah.
From one mortgage company.
Yeah.
So I financed three up there, and then that will release enough capital yeah. for me to go again.
To go again. I love that because I think we're you're in a race with me now to start buying more and more. But the block of four flats, condition wise, out of 10, 10 is Buckingham Palace. Well, not even Buckingham Palace breaking down, but 10 is amazing hotel. Mm. One is absolutely terrible. What kind of condition? Can you tell the listener what kind of condition did you?
Three to four. They were at the point where the tenants would have been looking for work to be done, and I think they actually were. Yeah. So they were relieved to see
somebody
coming in and doing work immediately. I'd done the common areas, cleared them, repainted them, put in sensors for the lights.
Yes.
Electricians were there, fixed car park, the garage, bits and pieces. And that instills confidence in them, and they'll ask for renew their lease again.
And so, then you can then market rate the rent as well.
Exactly.
Because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to put the rent up when I come in. I said, hang on, you've got to do the work first. You can actually give the person the better quality of stuff that they are going to see and then pay for, rather than pay for it and then do the works. Some people do the thinking kind of back to front.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great, I honestly, when you found it, we deal analyzed it, we thought about it, and you were like, right, let's go, let's get it. And I thought, great, that's an action taker, and clearly you're going to be taking all your money. Even if you just take your money out, that's a brilliant win. You're going to probably end up taking a bit more money out. And you've got those garages. As and when you get a bit bored, you're thinking, you know what, I'll start getting some planning on that as well. Now, then you went, this was 4 weeks after your course, then you found another block of six flats in Cornwall. Now, can you tell me a bit more about that?
I had actually looked at that.
Yeah, did you? Yeah.
But you sourced that one for me.
Okay, so sourcing.
So I decided to try the sourcing.
Yeah.
And we bought the six flats from your sourcing.
Yeah. And how much were they?
They worked out, I think it was around 350 as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So six units, which turned out to be, there was one bed.
Yeah.
Two beds. And three beds.
Which is crazy because on the listing, it didn't actually, I think.
No, it didn't have that on the listing. Yeah. So good size flats,
yeah,
which is important.
Yeah.
Tenants in situ, all paying rent.
How much money was coming in?
I think there was 30,000 coming in.
Amazing.
When I bought it.
Almost about 8% on entry.
And we're increasing the rent. And once the leases have become due, we're increasing the rent on all of them up to market value. But they've seen, again, in Cornwall, they've seen us put a scaffold up.
Yes.
Paint the whole outside of the building.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of a little town up there, Helston, and it's really nice. So the tenants are very happy with the improvements. So there's no point in upping your rent massively if they can't see something positive happening to the building, you know?
Correct.
So we're lucky with our tenants up there. We haven't got any bad ones up there, really, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And what was the kind of conversation? Because people say, well, how do you then, have you had that conversation with the tenants? Sometimes it can be quite awkward to say, look, you're paying 500, but actually the market rate's around 650. Mm. Have you had that conversation with tenants?
Yeah, I've had negotiations. One of our tenants in Chitra's actually, she's there 20 years.
Okay.
And we did give a little, obviously give her a little discount off what was there. But, you know, she was very happy that we'd done that, and she wants to stay there for the rest of her days, obviously.
And what's the rent when you bought it? What's her rent per month? And what?
Well, her rent was really low. It was £400. She actually said,
"Wow."
She actually said she was paying too little for years.
Because to be fair, most tenants will accept that if they've been getting that. They know that they're paying a low, but they're not going to start looking to pay more unless they've been asked for.
Exactly, and the market rate for that flat would have been 750 to 800. We've settled it at 650.
Yeah, good.
And good. The garages, the tenants had them. They weren't on their lease.
Yeah.
So I got them to move all their stuff out of the garages.
Brilliant.
So there's a possibility I can let the garages.
Yeah, yeah.
And
and I think it's an important thing you said here. I think we had that conversation. We're very much in this ilk of, look, this person's been there for 20 years. We're not here to kick people out of their homes. We want to keep people in their homes and work with them to put the, you know, to get a market rate that's actually fair. And like you said, in this example, 800 would have been fair. If she leaves, you'll probably get 800, but you'd rather keep her there at 650, and she knows the place. You're not going to have a problem with her and this income coming in, because at 800 quid, it might take you 2 or 3 months to fill that place, and then you've lost that uplift in value anyway. So I think people listening to here sometimes, it's not always about the maximizing every inch of the rent,
no,
but it's about getting the fair rent that somebody will be happy with and stay in place.
Exactly, yeah. And you know, the deals, as they came along, I suppose the second one.
Yeah.
And we were buying two at the same time almost.
Yes.
So, you know, it was a baptism of fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you what.
You're an all-in guy.
we learned, let's just say we learned a lot.
Yeah.
In the process, which is what
was the biggest challenge, do you think? So if you had to pick one or two challenges that you think, apart from the obvious construction bit, is there anything else you think, God, I did not realize this?
Yeah, we learned a lot around, you know, buying at auction, the different, studying the pack, the legal pack, very important, you know, and having the confidence then to bid on that, you know, knowing that you've read it yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, we illegal pack, it's quite daunting, but really and truly, if you read it properly, you can do, always second, get a second checked anyway.
Correct.
And we did.
Yes.
But I picked up that, you know, it was okay, you know?
Yeah.
And I suppose... It's
a legal document, you know, it's important. If we are going to do these investments, we need to be able to at least read it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then the bits that we don't know, get it checked by the lawyers.
Yeah.
Talk about lawyers and brokers and everything else. How has your feeling been around working with our team, my power team that you get as part of the course? Has that helped you speed up, you know, almost making those decisions, buying the right things, excuse me, using the right kind of people to help you along the way on the journey?
Well, yeah.
Floor plan guy.
Yeah, your legal representative, Navid.
Navid, he was
brilliant.
Yeah,
he was brilliant. Great. Yeah, he was very good.
Yeah.
We're waiting now for a paperwork to come through for both blocks. We've done our floor plans.
Yes, Andrew was very good.
Yeah, Andrew was good as well, and we're very happy with that. So basically, we're at the point now where we're actually waiting for paperwork to come in from the land registry.
Yeah.
And
start
the refinance process.
Amazing. Because I think having those people around, the lawyers, the brokers, the floor plan guy, if you don't have that, it's not impossible to go and find them, but it will take you months to go and find the right one. And I've kissed many frogs. I've worked with many people in a lawyer firm. You might have owned, and we use top four lawyers. In those lawyer firms, there might be 100 people. And out of those 100, only two of them will know how this strategy works. Mm-hmm. And I've had to go through the years picking these people. The floor plan, I've used floor plan people where they said, it's fine. And then you get to the land registry and say, that's not up to spec.
Yeah.
Throw it back. So it's really important, isn't it, to get those people in a basket almost to give to you.
Without a doubt. And as you said yourself, You've generated this team and produced this team because they do what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
You've made the mistakes. So by me buying your course, I'm jumping the mistakes, over them. You're giving me a way to see past the mistakes. Now, there's time pressure buying at auction as well.
Yeah.
And we ran into a broker who wasn't your broker because you were away at the time. And I got my own broker, of course. And, he caused me a bit of a nightmare because the selling agent wouldn't give us access to Cornwall to see the flats. So getting bridging on it then became impossible if we weren't going to get in.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a huge hurdle for anyone. So we had to put our thinking caps on. Where can we get the money? I want to bridge it.
Yeah.
There was a possibility I could get money, you know, but I wanted to bridge it.
Yes.
I wanted to bridge it because you advised me to bridge it.
Yes. You're not putting all your money in one.
Yeah, so we did manage it. We came up with a way of bridging it without getting into the building.
Yes.
And that in itself.
So you bridged it against...
another property.
Thinking about it, yeah. So bridging another company, another property to loan against that property and to then take the cash out to buy this one.
Yeah, and to be unencumbered
gives
you great freedom for title splitting.
Yes.
Because when you're unencumbered,
you can
get your leases done much quicker and there's no other party involved.
Yeah.
So being unencumbered is a huge asset. If you can do it at all, do it unencumbered on your first deal.
Yeah.
It's a great help. Yeah.
So what Colin's talking about here, so if you buy it with a bridge, you have to wait until, you know, at the exit to split the title, refinance it on separately and separate mortgages. When we buy it cash, we can actually split the title straight away because nobody's actually asking us to not do that because you're diluting their interest. Mm-hmm. So 100% I agree. Just as a side note, we have got bridging finance company through my brokers that would actually lend. In fact, I'm doing one right now. We're looking at one. They've already offered a rate on it without going in.
Mm.
So they will take a view. Okay, this is another auction one. They will take a view reading the legal pack that we've read. They will take a view on whether, we think they might ask you, instead of 25%, put 35% down. So that's reducing their risk a little bit. But there are ultimately, of course, the brokers that we use are pretty good, actually. So it's a good example of, you know, sometimes the team that we've amassed are very good. We are able to then help. And obviously, for all of the reasons I wasn't around, other brokers will tell you things that, because they don't know. It's not because they've been mean or been difficult. They just don't know the strategy. And I think that's why, as part of the service of this course, you get those people.
You get those people, and it takes the stress out of it. Because I did get stressed.
Yes.
You know, I got
it's $350,000. It's not like people have got that in their back pocket.
Exactly. And, you know, lessons were learned.
Yeah.
And we did quite well, myself and Jen, and we're happy where we are today.
So just the last thing around Cornwall then. So you paid $350, spent around...
At the moment, we've probably spent around 20, 25.
So let's see. So you're about 375. And how much your GDV do you think is going to be by the time you title split them?
It's difficult in the area, but I would estimate it could be a small unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm hoping so.
Okay. So what would you put it as? So the 375 to become what?
At least 550 anyway.
And these unicorns tend to happen more. The more we work, the harder we work, the more we start to see this thing.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. For me, to invest the capital, I wanted more than I'd get from a buy-to-let.
Yes.
A buy-to-let just doesn't stack up.
You
put in 25% deposit and you get a little bit of rent on one property. All of that work for one property.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas I can buy a block of flats.
Yeah.
Do a little bit more work,
yeah,
a little bit more research after this course is done. And I'm getting a lot more for our money.
So, for example, in this case, for example, just to kind of wrap up the two deals you've done, Chatteris, you'd actually recycle definitely your money out, if not more. Cornwall, you'll probably recycle all your money out from 375 to 525. That's $150,000 uplift. You are there or thereabouts in taking all your money out. And if we just make the assumption that I talk on the course right now at 5.5% of lending rate, £300 per unit as a net profit is what we're aiming for. And by the sound of it, you're there. So that means within 6 months of starting the course, you have got 10 flats yielding £300 per month. That's coming, once you finish it, about £3,000 per month coming in, passive.
Passive, yeah. Plus, what intrigues me about it is you have your 25% equity still in all the property.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's going to keep
growing. That's in your back pocket, and that's going to keep growing.
And also, more importantly, the rental is going to keep growing.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, even if you do nothing and the inflation rate just pushes the rental up, it's going to keep growing.
Yeah.
So, Colin, having spoken about all of this and thinking about when you came, we spoke and you were going to do the course, your financial outlook was looking at some certain kind of timelines you were looking at. So how has that financial outlook changed now, having done the course, started to invest, starting to see the passive income coming out? Has that given you more of a release and kind of confidence to then keep going and to hit your kind of financial goals?
Yeah. Well, oh, definitely. Yeah. My financial goal is just to keep going.
Yeah.
I
love that. There's no stopping.
There's no stop button. No. It's not about getting to any level. It's about just keeping busy and keep going and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. That's what it's going to be for us. But there isn't. I had a goal we spoke about initially.
Yeah.
Which is quite a big enough goal to get there, but I don't think I'd stop.
Yeah.
My biggest problem is there enough of these units out there?
Well, having said that, you know, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Obviously, we start with 100. You're probably looking at 2 or 3 or 5 that would actually stack up in the way that we're looking at it. You know, lots of people can buy blocks, but can you recycle your money out first? Level of kind of profit analysis, and do you make money at the end of it? If those two hit, we'll buy them. So I'll tell you, there's lots, you know, because once you start to look there's so many around. So
there
just
is.
To finish off, Colin, if you were to say to somebody that's considering this one-to-one course, what would your comments be or what advice be about this kind of, the way that I've structured it, the 4 weeks online, 6 1-hour course, once you've bought your blog, over 12-month period, what would you say they should they think about doing it or not?
Almost definitely. It's the structure is there, and the way you've structured the weeks and the homework. If you're not going to do the homework, don't bother getting into this, you know.
Yes.
You know, finding 13 places, deal analysing them, they stack up. You get a bit of confidence then in your own ability to find things that, you know, and I was, like we said earlier, I was finding stuff you were finding. And I was saying, oh, I must be doing it right then, you know. So the structure is good.
Yes.
The homework is good.
Yeah.
It brings you along in a way that your confidence builds, and The one-to-one is amazing. If you have a question, pick the phone up. There's never a time when you haven't answered, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, the course has worked. So I'm not the kind of guy, I like value for money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Much like yourself.
Of course, yeah.
And I believe I got it. Yeah. So yeah, I've been very happy with it.
Good. But I can tell you also, from a mentor perspective, I love working with people who are like you. Just get, you know, you learn the thing and you go and buy things. And I have no doubt in my head that over the next few months, you're going to say, all right, I bought another one. Actually, there's one that I'm going to come to you and think that actually you might have a look at that. Mm. Bit larger, but we can talk about this offline as well. But from my point of view, thank you so much for taking the time today in your amazingly busy schedule, coming back from Cornwall a couple of days ago to be here with us. Thanks for sharing your journey, but also your experience with Title Split, and more importantly, what you're thinking going forward as well. I hope people listening to here can actually understand that actually, you know, if you've got 100 grand or if you've got 1 million quid, there is always something that people can get into, but having the right knowledge and also the support structure that gets you there.
It is. The support is critical in the early stages for people to...
Yeah, because once you've done one and you've done that cycle, you can do it again and again. You've got all the structure around you to do it.
Yeah, the framework is there. Brilliant. Yeah.
But Colin, thank you so much. And I look forward to hearing from you probably on the next podcast when you bought another 25, 30 flats.
Well, let's hope so.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.